Today we have an extraordinary experience, an opportunity to hear from somebody who grew up Egyptian, is a Muslim, but as the Muslim Brotherhood began to grow in his own country, he saw the dangers and the lack of opportunities and came to America. And he became a member of such an elite fighting unit that we're not even allowed to say the name of it. He refers to it as the unit, which it's not its real name. And his name as author is not his real name either. That's how secret it is. So we're delighted to welcome Adam Gamal, who is the author of The Unit, My Life Fighting Terrorist as One of America's Most Secret Military Operatives. It's a new book out from St. Martin's Press. Adam, thank you so much for being with us today on WTBF. I read your book on the way back from a mission trip to Cuba over the weekend. I want to say, first of all, the extraordinary work that you and the unit did, it's amazing. I think the United States population is going to be absolutely amazed that we have people like you that are standing between us and those that would do us dreadful harm. And I just want to, first of all, say thank you so much for all that you did and to say thank you for the chance to talk to you and read your book.
Dave, thank you so much and welcome back from Cuba, and hopefully you enjoyed the trip and hopefully you enjoyed the book as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely, in both cases. You were part of an elite unit that's so elite that you really can't officially identify them, and the name that you used to write the book is not really your name because of the danger to yourself and your family and the team if your real name was revealed, correct?
Correct, and we wanted to make sure that we protecting the former unit guys, the current unit guys, the men and women who are still serving in the organization and protecting the country, and at the same time, the guys who've done the job before, protect them and their family, and protect my family and myself as well.
I was just amazed, first of all, at how you came to be an American citizen. You grew up in Egypt. You are a Muslim. You grew up in a family of Muslims, and your family's time in Egypt goes back a very long time. But yet, when you were growing up, the stirrings of the Muslim Brotherhood and your father said, "Watch out for these guys; they are bad news." He certainly turned out to be a prophet in that case. You first realized the danger that was happening in your country. When did you decide to come to escape that?
When I was in college in Egypt, I was studying law. And law over there is an undergrad degree, so you go after high school like a lot of other countries. And we had a college professor, and he's like, the law that you're studying here, you're studying for the exam, so you can pass the exam. However, I don't think you guys will ever pass in your lifetime, because Egypt at that time was under a state of emergency since the assassination of the late president, Egypt President Sadat, after he did the peace accord with Israel. So at that time, I was like, well, if I'm going to study law in a country that I cannot practice the law, or I can enjoy the law, or I can not enjoy the freedom, it's time to go. And my dad, one of the things he said, he said, your country is the country that gives you dignity and freedom. So what I tell people, a lot of things in America we take for granted. The right to dream is something that not a lot of people have. In Egypt, you cannot dream. You cannot walk around and dream and say, you know, you see this big house, I would love to buy it one day. If you're poor, you're going to stay poor. If you're rich, you might stay rich. Where I came to the U.S. with $500 borrowed from my sister, didn't speak any English. And 4 years after, I was in the military. 4 years after that, I was working as a temporary loaner from the military to the FBI in New York City to translate the Al-Qaeda manual. So moving that fast, moving up, given the opportunities to excel, you're not going to see that in any country in the world. People might say I'm biased, but it is the greatest country on the planet.
I'm with you there. I've been privileged to travel temporarily to a lot of countries around the world, not in the same situation you were, of course. I can say that everywhere else there are wonderful people, but nowhere else do we have the sort of opportunities that we have in America. And I'm so proud that people like you said, we want to come be a part of you. That warms my heart and inspires me to be a better American. Tell us a little bit about, as much as you can, about the kind of special forces deployments that are going on and still going on around the world. You were at one point in Africa I think it's funny that most Americans don't know anything more about geography, and more than a little sad, that they don't realize that Egypt is, of course, an African country. So you were back on your home continent, so to speak, but you were going up against the very bad guys that you had gone up against ever since your father warned you about the Muslim Brotherhood.
Correct. And it's very interesting that you said a lot of people don't know Egypt is in Africa. I was in my last military assignment. I had a security person. She's one of the greatest people I've ever worked with. And I used to have this argument with her all the time. And I used to say, I'm African. And she's like, you're not. And we used to have this argument all the time. Like, I swear I'm African. So people, because they affiliate Africa with specific skin color, and I'm not black, I'm brown. So that's that. But to go back to your question, that in that deployment, in more than one deployment, for me, it was, I think it was just a lot more personal. I felt I had a mission I need to accomplish. It's not just a mission because I'm in the military, but it's a mission because there are a group of people who hijacked my religion. There is a group of people who went and bombed embassies in the name of Islam, or went to hit the World Trade Center in the name of Islam, or doing all these bad things in the name of Islam. And it was just like Timothy McVeigh did whatever he did in the name of whatever. So for me, it was a lot more personal. So going after these guys, I kept it in my mind what my dad taught me as a child, and what Islam should be, and what humanity should be in general, not just the religion. And that made me a lot more determined than a lot of people thought, just to go after these guys and take as many of them out as we can.
It's amazing to me, as you talked about your first days in service, in the pre-9/11 days, and even after 9/11, there was an incredible dearth of people who were brought in to help, who were, like you, people from the region who were now Americans, people from the region of conflict who were Muslims, or who spoke Arabic, who spoke Farsi and the other languages of the Middle East. Why in the world didn't we say, we need everybody, please. If you have these qualifications, we desperately need your help, because all of us that are born in America, we're still struggling to learn Spanish, much less Arabic, and we need people who understand the culture and can help us. And in the interrogations you talked about, that you could talk to them as a peer, as someone that they trusted, because you looked like them, you understood their faith, you understood their language and the nuances thereof. Why haven't we done a better job in getting more guys with your unique qualifications to help us out?
I wish I can answer that question. It's I met a lady from she used to be the HR person in the FBI after 9/11, and according to her story, so I don't know how valid the story is, but according to her story, she went around right after 9/11. She knew she was going to be asked about how many FBI agents that they have from an Arab descent. Mm-hmm. And I think at that time, she told me like it was less than 5 of them, maybe 1. So nobody knew. I mean, we are not good in planning and predicting. Yeah. In 1999, I tried to be an interrogator, like official interrogator in the military. Mm-hmm. The interrogator branch in the army said we don't need any Arabic speakers. So we are not good in predicting what we will need. However, we started recruiting as much as we can after 9/11. But I think it was a day late and a dollar short when we were doing that.
Yeah.
But hopefully now we're doing a lot better job. I joined the military before 9/11. I joined the military not because the military was recruiting Arabic speakers. I joined the military because I was looking for a better opportunity and a better life and a way to serve my new country. So hopefully now we're doing a lot better job. But I wanted to, I'll be remiss if I don't mention it. We do have men and women in the military who went, learned the language. They learned Arabic extremely well. They know it extremely well. It's just not to the level of a native where you can sit and have a conversation with a local Jordanian or a local Iraqi, and the local Iraqi will think you just, they'll relate to you and they'll tell you a lot more.
Right.
It's just human nature. Human nature is we feel comfortable with people who look like us.
Yeah.
So we can give them that if we can tell them, if we can show them we look like them, and I do look like them. I used to walk around. Nobody ever would have thought I was an American military guy.
There are places in the book that you talk about it, that you had to make sure to let people know, hey, I'm on your side, okay? If you see me coming into the compound, don't shoot first and ask questions later. The courage that you and all of your compatriots have displayed in this book is extraordinary. I hope lots of people read this book. And I think, I'm in awe of what you have done for us and others in your group, in the unit have done. And I want to thank you. And I want to thank you for making time to talk to me today. Still a little jet lagged, but I absolutely wanted to be here to get a chance to visit with you. And thank you again.
No, thank you. No, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for talking to me. Thank you for, I thank America for the opportunity to let people like me serve.
Absolutely. That's at least I can do that. We've been talking to Adam Gamal, who is the author of The Unit, My Life Fighting Terrorist as One of America's Most Secret Military Operatives, written with Kelly Kennedy. It's from St. Martin's Press, available now. Honored to have an American hero who was born in another country, learned our language, learned our ways, and was inspired to go to fight against those who would destroy our way of life and destroy the ways of life of people everywhere. For WTBF, this is Doc Kirby.